Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Driveway Liberty Podcast. The only podcast recorded live in a driveway. And you'll hear that in a minute. You'll when this kid comes by on this scooter, when Freebird blasting.
We are definitely in the driveway, and we're recording a little earlier than we usually do.
Well, not only on Sunday day, afternoon. but even a little earlier in the afternoon, man, dude.
So we got an active neighborhood surrounding us. So you might hear some backgrounds.
You'll hear kids and maybe a couple of dogs and a kid with Freebird playing.
Dude, the kid has it's like a cart. So, like, think of a piece of plywood with four wheels and two handles and a motor.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's cruising around.
And he's cranking out the Freebird.
It just cracks me up. Because I heard it. I just figured it was some neighbor working in the yard behind me. And then all of a sudden it come riding by.
And the kid looked like he was about 10 years old.
Dude. Yeah, he's about 10 years old, man. Riding to the Freebird.
That's beautiful.
Hi, Freebird.
That's America right there. That's America.
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know how you're doing, Dan, but I'm over here struggling.
You drank all the beers last night.
I drank every one of them. Thanks to our good friend. I don't know if she wants us calling her name on here, so I won't. But a good friend of the podcast, mm-hmm. and a friend of ours that we've gotten to know through political circles, reached out and had extra tickets to the Moon Crush Music Festival, which is a big kind of, it's one of these new festival type deals where they do these vacations surrounded by music. Mm-hmm. And, they have some, you know, just depending on your taste, some pretty big acts that come and play. And one of our favorite bands is the Wood Brothers, April and I's favorite bands.
Yeah, Need to Breathe played in September, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, man. I mean, and they've got like Lauren Daigle playing next week, big Christian rock artist, in a couple of weeks. And this one's like 4 weeks. They're every weekend for the next 4 weeks. They've got a festival going on at this place. And this weekend was Trombone Shorty, which is a big New Orleans act. They had the Revivalists. I'd never heard them before. I think I'd heard some old school stuff. But there were basically, if U2 and Coldplay had a baby, and they used a lot more delay pedal, and they actually had one of those pedal steels, which is like the usually in country. That kind of shit. That's who they are. That's what they sound like, which is totally different than everything else that happened musically last night.
So they tried to hit multiple audiences?
Not really. So you had the Wood Brothers are kind of a folky blues with a New Orleans influence kind of band.
Mm-hmm.
The chick before them that opened, we only heard like two of her songs, when I was kind of glad. But she's kind of this folky, kind of hippie, coffee shop vibe kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And then Trombone Shorty's like a 8-piece band. They got trombones and trumpets.
That's the New Orleans jazz type.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. But it wasn't jazz. They were doing like Prince. They did like a Prince cover. They were rocking out, man. They were good. They were really good. Guitar player was on point, just shredding. And of course, Trombone Shorty is the name of the dude's band, so he's got a trombone out there, and he's wearing it out. And they had a Barry sax player. It was just womp, 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 womp. I mean, it was cool, and we had a good time. But like you said, there ain't a beer left up there.
Yeah.
Because I drank every one of them, and I feel it today.
So I texted you. Didn't know you were going.
Yeah.
Texted you and said, hey, one of the local restaurants, a new restaurant, relatively new, they've been open like 9 months.
Right.
Is having a four for $20 craft beer special. So $5 a beer on 30A is pretty.
Especially on craft beers. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
So, you know, same beers, like $7 or $8 at most places. So.
Right.
$5, I'll take it. So, when I texted you and said, hey, you want to go? And you told me you were going to the Moon Crush thing. So I kind of went on my own. You know, it's a place where my wife works and my daughter works part-time there. So I went and hung out there, watched a little baseball.
Yeah.
Orioles won.
Okay.
And basically hung out and talked to the bartender. And it was, you have those days where the beers kind of hit just right.
Yeah.
And they just flow.
Yeah.
Yesterday was not one of those days.
They weren't working for you.
But I was committed.
We appreciate your effort.
Money-wise, with the $20, I had to. So I drank, after I was about three quarters of the way through my second one.
Right.
And I drank the exact beer that I reviewed on this show like two shows ago.
Yeah.
That Antique Alley Three Sons Amber.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have it there on tap, which is fantastic. Hmm. So the beer wasn't the issue. It was just a.
You just weren't feeling it.
Yeah. So into this end of the second one, I'm like, I told Kevin, the bartender, I said, I may not make it to four. You might make a little extra money off me tonight. Cause it, you pay for three, it's the same as four.
Well, sure.
So, I drank the third one. And I'm like, I'm not going to have a fourth. And I found out that they have a pretty extensive, bourbon selection
there. Oh, interesting.
And you wouldn't think so at a, you know, a barbecue joint, but they got a lot of different brands of bourbon. So I found out they had Yellowstone. Now I watch the show, and if it ever comes back with the Kevin Costner bullshit, but I've seen like Facebook ads for it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'd be interested to see what that tastes like. So I said, give me a Yellowstone on a big rock. So, dude, it's good.
Is it?
And then I wasn't feeling beer.
Right.
But I was feeling bourbon. So I had one there. I drank three of those craft beers, which it's not super high ABV. They're like 5.7 or something. Right. So.
But the bourbon was pretty high.
The bourbon was took care of all that. So I had one of those, and then I was fine. I came home. And started playing my game, and I had a couple more bullets. So it was this morning I was feeling it.
All right.
Kind of similar to you.
Yeah, I did even mention the Angel's Envy tent they had out there.
Mm.
Which was also part of my experience.
Nice.
But that's not what I mean, I just had one of those. But
that with was all the divide and conquer.
I was waiting in the beer line, so I was like, oh, nobody's at this Angel Envy stand. Let me get something while I wait on my beer.
A little sipping while you're in line.
So so at this festival, you get this app, and you can, if you've got in a certain spot, you can order food and drinks and stuff like that. And I'd done that twice after we had already drank earlier. And I realized at that point, I'm like, you know what? I need to walk some of this off. So instead of using the app to order the beer, I'd walk 40 yards.
And that made all the difference.
It did, man. I don't think I'd have made it home.
It enabled you to get a couple more beers in you?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't have made it home if I hadn't been walked it off like that. But, yeah, I was getting antsy staying in the same spot all the time. I don't like to just sit still sometimes, and last night was one of those nights. But anyway, that's so if I sound like I'm a little laid back, that's exactly why.
Yeah, I was offered from the same person the tickets for tonight's show, and I'm not going to make it.
No.
I appreciate the offer, though. We love you.
No, that was super sweet of her, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sunday's just kind of hard because you got to work the next day if you work.
Yeah, Saturdays are fine, but.
Yeah. Or even Fridays are even better.
Fridays are the best.
Because I got up, had some coffee this morning, and I've been going ever since.
But see, we're in the heart of baseball season, so it's like last 2 weeks of the season, last week coming up before playoffs start. So
you're talking about high school. You're not talking about pros.
Yeah, high school. Okay. I'm talking about umpiring. So it's like Friday night, I can't go anywhere. I got a game every Friday night,
right?
And that'll continue through, you know, the middle of May.
It's gonna be me.
I'll do all the district, you know, some district games around here. Or when I say around here, I mean in the panhandle. anywhere from Pensacola to Tallahassee.
So it's kind of funny that you moved us over to sports. You and I both, I played one season of collegiate golf and you played college football. Mm-hmm. And I remember Title IX being a thing. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, like from like the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, like 72 is when Title IX was passed originally. But if those not familiar, what that does is that forces colleges to invest the same amount of money into women's sports as they do men. That's the simple process. I remember Title IX because as a collegiate golfer, I was a walk-on. I didn't have a scholarship or anything like that. And I was fourth seed out of six players on the whole team. And this was this little Baptist school that my dad made me go to. One of the 15 that I went to school at. But I remember Title IX specifically because our golf team had zero, we had like 10 bucks and that was like, they gave us a sleeve of balls, not every tournament, just the NAIA tournament. Our regional tournaments when they actually bought us some balls. We didn't have a bag with our collegiate logo on it. We didn't have matching shirts or anything like that. And it was actually embarrassing because we'd show up just dressed like regular golfers with these old beat up bags that we had from the house. And these other guys are showing up from Boca Raton, Embry-Riddle, or, Georgia State College, and all their shirts matched and their pants matched. And
they're wearing uniforms.
Uniforms. Mm-hmm. We, not us, you know. So it was a little bit embarrassing. I always asked the coach, I'm like, dude, can we not at least get a shirt? We don't have to wear the same color pants or the same shoes or the same caps. Can we? He's like, no, man, all that money goes to the women's softball and basketball and soccer. I'm like, well, so I was a little bitter about it, even though it wasn't that big a deal. But it was embarrassing enough that the next year I just didn't even go out for golf. And I was 4-seed, and I may have been able to qualify for an additional scholarship had I gone and played. But, man, I'm like, you ain't got money to buy us a sleeve of balls, you know, every tournament and give us some tees with at least our college logo on it or some shirts. You could go to the damn campus bookstore and get us a shirt, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the reality of sports is the money is generated – based on the spectators. So
yeah,
it's based based on who's watching it, whether you're watching it and you're buying tickets to go to the event.
Right.
Or you're watching it on television or back then listening to it on the radio. All those things are based on ratings, et cetera. And they have contracts with the schools that pay them money.
Yeah.
And we all know that
football generates the money.
And men's sports generate a lot more than women's
Absolutely
sports.
Absolutely, they do.
And that's true at every level.
Yep.
I mean, my son played high school baseball for 1 year at the same time my daughter played varsity girls softball. And the difference between the two is staggering.
Sure.
There'd be, you know, a couple hundred people at a baseball game, and there's like 30 at the softball game. And people just don't, I don't know why, they don't get excited about it. I think the only women's sports that people get excited about is the Olympic soccer, or really the Olympic sports. So
yeah.
With the females.
Yeah.
So there'd be, you know, even the women's hockey in the Olympics. I mean, it's the old, patriotism, pride for your country kind
sure,
of thing.
Sure, sure,
and
sure.
And people engage in that and they watch it, and there's pretty big crowds. But when you talk like the WNBA, I mean, people are talking about this this new player that got drafted was out of Iowa. Is it Caitlin?
Yeah.
I can't remember her last
name. And she's a beast. And
she's a freaking monster.
Yeah.
And she's making like 76 grand playing in the WNBA.
Well, if you want to know why, look in the stands.
Because they don't generate
any money. Right, yeah. It's supply and demand.
So basically what happened is the government got involved and is basically forcing the schools to fund
the women's sports.
And listen, there's some positive to that. I mean,
sure.
Because if you just fund it based on revenue generation. There's probably going to be a bunch of, you know, female versions of Wes Herdon who just quit because they don't have money for uniforms, et cetera.
Sure.
For their sports. So, I mean, I think the original, the way it was laid out,
the
had
original
some issues.
Intent, but yeah.
Yeah, had some issues with it, but. I don't think it was a bad thing.
When these larger schools with big, huge football programs, that then they were spending millions of dollars. This is where you get equestrian, you know, women's equestrian, mm-hmm. you know, all these additional sports that really didn't make sense because they had to spend a certain amount of money on women's sports.
Yeah.
And you can only have so many women on the basketball team, only so many women on the softball teams. The sports that people actually do go see.
Yeah, the already established sports.
Yeah, and gymnastics and stuff like that. And then that was my only problem with it. They're having to create sports or spend extra money over here because of the law.
I think it would have been better if they were going to force basically, you know, this is government in action forcing institutions to do things.
Right.
And I think the 50-50 thing was a mistake because it just doesn't equate. It doesn't translate correctly. And I think it could have, if their true intention was just to make sure the girls' sports were not neglected.
Yeah.
Monetary wise, then fine, do that. But find a formula that's actually realistic instead of creating a burden for the schools to right. have to get to. Now, that whole world is completely changed now because
the
Biden administration's in charge and they're going to rewrite all that shit.
Yep. You don't even have to be a girl to get you some Title IX money.
So they rewrote the Title IX regulations. Now, think about this. This is a set of regulations that was created by the Department of Education.
Right.
It's not a law. It's not anything that's gone through Congress. This is a regulatory body that is now telling schools how to operate because we fund schools. The government funds schools. Yep. So whenever the government funds something, they can tell you what to do.
Yep.
Or let me rephrase that. We allow them to think they can tell us what to do. And then a lot of people just accept that.
Yes.
And that's the case in anything the government gets involved in. Now it's the automaker, so they're making them all do electric cars, airplanes. Now they had to wear masks on planes. I mean, we could talk about you get in bed with the devil, which is the government, and you're going to pay eventually. They may help you right now, but years down the line, they're going to have the opposite effect.
Well, it's just like anytime somebody, if you go to somebody that's not a friend, even some friends, and they do you a favor, there's a leverage there.
Yeah.
And there's conditions that a lot of times that come with those things.
Yeah. And you know, you ask yourself, is that person truly a friend if those things are
involved? Right, if there are conditions or if you're expecting this. And
we're not talking about friends here. We're talking about
government.
Yeah, and the government, which is literally in existence for power.
But I brought up the friends because some friends do expect a return of favor at some point, should they ever need it. It's like the Godfather scenario. You know, someday I may call on you to perform a service.
Yeah, the Godfather did that for power, just like the government.
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's not
a benevolent thing.
God, man, dude, I got on Facebook this morning and somebody on the supposed conservative page locally was saying, well, why don't you guys in Santa Rosa Beach add a, you know, incorporating, becoming a municipality, that'll solve a lot of your issues. No. You're sitting there bitching because the county's fucking
it will
up.
It will just create new issues.
It's like having a fire over here and try to put it out with gas. That's all you're doing.
You're creating new issues. You're adding another layer of bureaucracy and control and government on top of where there isn't one.
Absolutely. So what's going on with, I mean, what are the specifics of this Title IX that we are kind of troubled about, Daniel?
Okay, so the thing's 1,500 pages long. How much space do you need to say you got to spend money in the girls' sports and the boys' sports? This is 1,500 pages long.
Right.
So this is the statement that from the Department of Education. Mm. The Department of Education disagrees with the contention that including sexual orientation and gender identity in the scope of 106.10 harms women. So they don't think the trans thing harms women. Recognizing these bases of sex discrimination under Title IX in no way lessens the force of Title IX's protections against discrimination that limits education opportunities for girls and women. Further discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity is typically motivated by the same sex stereotypes that limit opportunities for women, regardless of whether they identify as LGBTQI plus 2A, whatever
the alphabet.
So the Department of it. So a lot of women, Riley Gaines is a big time speaker out about sure. this. She's a Kentucky swimmer that lost to the dude
that they just gave her the medals for and took away from him. Right.
Yeah. So I think the Olympics and the NCAA are starting to say, you know what? Fuck this. We're not doing this shit. So what does Biden's administration do? His Department of Education brings down the iron fist and says, hey, listen.
You want our money.
Chicks with dicks are girls, and you're not going to discriminate against. And not only that, they're going to not only be allowed in women's sports, but they're going to be allowed. There's no forcing of separate locker rooms, separate bathrooms, separate showers. They're basically saying if you identify as a female, you are to be treated under the law.
Like
in any educational institution that's funded by the federal government, then you are a woman, period, or a girl or a female. And they specifically even say that as recipients of federal financial assistance, elementary schools and secondary schools are also subject to these Title IX regulations. So elementary schools.
All right.
You're talking up to sixth grade or in our area, up fourth grade.
Yep.
Because it's fifth, sixth, seventh, or is it to fifth grade? So six, seven, eight is middle school. So up to fifth grade in elementary schools, if you got one of those fucked up parents like Megan Fox
that allows you,
who's got two boys and dresses them as girls, those kids at the elementary school are going to be able to play on their basketball teams or whatever. Sports they have in elementary school, and they're going to be able to use the girls' bathroom, the girls' showers, the girls' locker rooms. That's what happens when you get in bed with the government. All it takes is some fucking screwed up in the head administration like this that bypasses the normal way of creating law mm-hmm. and uses their departments to create regulations that are binding by law, and basically they're saying, hey, listen, if you don't follow these regulations, you're not getting any money. And think about this. All of you who have kids in school, what do you have to do before the school starts every year? You got to go out to Target or Walmart or whatever. They got fucking displays all over the place. You got to buy all kinds of shit for the teacher and all kinds of supplies for the kids because the schools can't afford the supplies. Now, we can make a different argument on where the fucking school's money's going.
Right. That's a totally separate argument. A whole different conversation right there. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they can force they are forcing themselves on your kids.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean physically necessarily, but yes, physically. Because
but they're opening the door for that physicality to happen.
You're going to get some horny little seventh grader who's just starting to get his curlies, and he's going to like, man, you know, I could go shower with these honeys.
Dude, remember the Eddie Murphy bit where he's in class and He said, my dick gets hard when the wind blows.
Yeah.
Because the teacher called him on me, do a math problem up at the board. He said, no thanks, I'll take the zero. Because it just happens with boys at an adolescent age. The whole hormone thing. That, could you imagine that in the shower? First of all, whether it's erect or flaccid, I don't want my daughter showering with the guy with a pair of nuts and a stick and berries. No twigs and berries.
No, man.
None of that shit.
No, sir.
And I'll tell you, if that happened here, I don't care what the fucking regulations are.
Yeah, I'd lose my shit.
Yeah, there'd be some shit happening.
Be problematic.
Yes, and I'd probably be fucking wrestled to the ground by the school resource officer. I don't know. I'd be pretty raged. I'd be a tough out. This is crazy. I mean, this is insane. And when you finally, it's like you thought sanity was starting to rise to the top when Riley gets her award for winning.
Yeah.
Because she was the best female in the nation in that swimming event. And the Olympics, I believe the Olympics has decided to not participate in the whole, you know, charade.
Yeah, that's exactly trans what it charade is. That's BS. A good word for it.
So the NCAA has done it. So you think some sanity is coming in there. But what happens? The fucking Biden administration, Department of Education says, fuck you, that shit ain't happening now. We rewrite the regulations and now you ain't getting shit from us. And to be honest with you, I think all the schools ought to tell them to fuck off and learn how to live without that federal money.
Yeah.
Live within your means.
Yep.
Change some things up. Fire half of your fucking school board administration buildings you got all over the goddamn county. We don't need all these people. Uh-uh. We can't pay teachers enough. The problem is the money is not spent in front of the student. It's spent in bureaucracy and administration behind it.
Yep.
So you've got all kinds of people who are working outside of the schools that are taking a massive chunk of that money.
Sure.
And then they're building stupid shit. Like I officiate baseball and football in Okaloosa County.
Right.
So they had a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And they went and they're like, all right, we got to spend this money. So instead of going out and buying fucking 10-year supply of paper and pens and pencils and supplies for the kids and putting them in a freaking warehouse somewhere, and then instead of having the parents go get new stuff, they're building multi-use facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of dollars. And everybody's like, well, what are you going to use this for? They're like, well, we haven't really figured it out yet. So you don't have a need for it.
Right.
And maybe it becomes an indoor practice facility for some. They'll use it.
Yeah,
they'll figure it out. But it's not a necessity.
No, absolutely it's not. Dude, man, my high school football practice field barely had grass on it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And our sleds and our tackling dummies, I mean, some of them were, you know, store-bought. Some of them weren't. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot. One of our things is the local tire place would donate an old tractor tire.
Yeah.
And we'd tie a rope to it with a harness and drag that thing. That was part of our training.
Yeah.
There are ways to do this stuff.
Yeah.
To make it work, our whole, entire weight room, our what few actual machines we had that weren't actual, you know, regular bars and weights, you know,
mm-hmm.
were made by a dude locally.
Yep.
He'd put a pulley on a machine and he'd do the weights and, you know, like our leg press machine.
Dude, you ever see Rocky IV when he was in Russia?
Yeah.
He's got a freaking, a stick basically with two bags of rocks on each end doing bench presses, standing bench presses.
Yeah.
You figure that shit out. There's plenty of stuff that weighs.
Yeah.
But oh, we can't do that because it's not safe.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not safe. There's not loads and loads of government regulations behind the production of that in order to keep the child from getting hurt. I mean, the fucking insanity of what's going on. Like, name one thing. That the government has gotten involved in and has made it better than it would have if it was allowed to be done privately or personally.
We need to define what's better, but one thing they've gotten involved in and definitely made bigger is taxation.
Yeah, not better.
No, definitely not better.
Because they got to fund all this shit.
No, we needed to defund the education department. We need to defund.
We need to eliminate the education department. If there's a government entity, if you're going to want a government entity to run the education department, it should be at max at the state level.
State level.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And use your state income tax or your sales tax, like here in Florida, because we don't have a state income tax to fund that.
Right.
Exactly. Get the feds out of the schools.
Man, I'm all in favor of that.
Look what they did to the whole student loan thing. Oh, they're predatory loans. They took advantage of it. And then what happened when the government started taking on student loans? How much did the price of a college education go up once the federal government
skyrocketed? The same way when
because it's not their fucking money.
When they got involved with healthcare.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Same thing. They shit on. They fuck up everything.
Everything. All right. We need to take a break. We'll be back. We'll do some beer reviews because I think I need some hair to the dog. But we'll be back here.
We got more to talk about in this.
Yeah, we do.
This subject.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Hey guys, Uncle Wes here. Remember how we're always talking about how we wish we had access to an alternative marketplace for conservatives and get away from this woke culture? Well, guess what? We've found one. MammothNation.com. You can buy jewelry, eyewear, stuff for your pets, sauces, spices, coffees, vodka, wine. Just about anything you want, you can get at MammothNation.com. And guess what? If you use promo code Driveway Liberty Media when you sign up, you can get 30% off your first year. Go check them out. MammothNation.com, promo code Driveway Liberty Media.
All right, guys, welcome back. It is time for Beer Reviews. Beer Reviews. Mm. Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I drank some really good beers yesterday.
Yeah.
Drank a Divide and Conquer, Appalachia IPA, some Angel Envy, which isn't beer at all, but it was still good. Today, to show my true blue, red, white, and blue blood and upbringing.
The little lighter hair of the dog.
Little lighter hair of the dog. I'm drinking the Ultra Right, 100% woke-free American beer.
From Conservative Dad.
From Conservative Dad.
Delicious. Mm. Delicious and a good thing to support, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Mary.
Well, yeah. That brings me back to, music. So I've got to do an album. Sorry, I don't mean to. We'll get to you.
You're going to do an album.
No, I'm working. I'm working on it.
Get to do an album, not have to.
I get to do an album, and I am very excited about it. I've already written like 5 new songs for it. I had a song that didn't quite fit, so I'm releasing it as my last single before the album comes out. Mm-hmm. Comes out May 7th, called "The Best of Me." But what I've been doing is, I don't want to write anything overtly political just because the Recall Them All song has done well. But I do have a song that I'm writing, and the chorus is basically, I think I'll run for public office, try to make a change, love up on some special interests, and make a fortune in a stock exchange. That's the chorus of the song. Well, my drummer, he's old school. He doesn't like talking about politics and in public, even though he leans.
That's how we got there.
Yeah.
That's
and I tell him, I said, that's how we got here. He said, well, but to me, political songs sound contrived. I'm like, dude, ain't anything contrived about this. It's a funky little blues number. And, there's some funny stuff in it.
The problems with him, not with.
Yeah. Well.
With the music or the reasoning behind it or anything.
No, he's legit told me that.
Yeah. Well, that,
I'm not.
And that's his problem. That's
not right.
Legit. To me, a legit problem.
Yeah. But
and I love your drummer. He's a great guy.
No, I love him too. And he politically lines with us. He really does. He's just that old school, don't talk about politics in public and, that kind of stuff. And I get it. But he and I had a deep conversation because it was just him working on some of the new material for the album this morning. And he and I got to talking about this. And I'm like, dude. Think about how many conservative musicians there are. And you can't really call Oliver Anthony because he says he's trying to stay middle of the road. Jason Aldean, his song sucked. And, you've got maybe Kid Rock and Ted Nugent.
Yeah, there's not many.
There's not many.
Probably more, but there's not many that'll actually embrace it. And
then I said, think about if we as conservatives were more loyal to conservative musicians and we made it okay for people to voice their opinion. He was like, yeah, that's not a bad point. I'm like, I know. So I'm tired of hiding who I really am. I got a degree in political science, co-host, co-founder of a conservative, liberty-minded podcast and media company. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to sit there and just sit down and try to write a political song. But if the lyrics come to mind or the idea comes to mind, I'm writing a song.
Yeah, but the problem is, let me rephrase that. It's not a problem. The reality is politics and life are so intertwined, especially as oppressive as politics is now.
Yeah.
The way it is in culture, which we just spent, you know, a half hour talking about college sports and high school sports for women,
right,
which are now not for women anymore.
No.
You know, and it's ingrained in our everyday life, and to not speak about it gives them the, first of all, silence is consent in a lot of cases.
It is.
So if you're not speaking, like, think about the people that are speaking out about things. It's the majority of it is the psychopaths that make a big deal, and then they get their fucking way.
Exactly. That's exactly right, and that's exactly my point in this. Look, there's nothing you can, you and I sitting right here at this table in this driveway, and we cannot reach out and touch a single thing within our reach that's not somehow touched by government.
Oh yeah, everything.
From the ink in that banner right there, to the processes in which they do it, to these electronics, everything, government is so ingrained in our life and have such control over our lives. It's time to stop fucking around.
Well, we surrendered to the government a long time ago.
Well, you're right. And now it's time to unsurrender.
And then when you speak out against it, people are like, but I like roads. Like, you say that shit, and that's just
brilliant. Look, if you like roads, guess what? The private market will provide.
Yeah. Probably way better roads.
Oh, way better roads.
And it'll cost you less.
Yeah, a lot less.
Imagine if we didn't have taxes to pay for roads and all roads were toll roads. Look how much extra fucking money you would have.
Absolutely. If you didn't drive on that road.
But they think you're driving on the roads for free.
They don't see it as something other. And you know what? Who actually built that road? It wasn't the fucking government.
No, it's private.
All the government did was facilitate it.
Yep. I heard somebody say something today, and I just lost it. Son of a bitch, that happens. But anyways, I'm drinking Dirty Bastard from Founders, and I just realized this shit is 8.5% ABV.
Oh, snap, boy.
So, and they got a bottle on date on this for two. Remember the whole Born on date?
Yeah.
So this is a fresh beer.
That's a freshie, huh?
And it's 8.5 Dirty Bastard Founders.
Nice, nice, nice. And that, ladies
that
and gentlemen.
That thought will come back to me at some point.
It will. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your beer review. Beer reviews. All right, man, we were talking about this Title IX thing. I'm going to get this out of the way. Where are all the fucking feminists? Where's Gloria Steinem's granddaughter right now? Or she probably didn't. She was a lesbian, so she didn't have any kids. But where are all these bra-burning feminists from the 70s, 80s, and 90s who took great issue with the patriarchy? Mm. Mm. You know, the patriarchy is infiltrating your girl's bathroom, your shower,
it makes no sense.
Your ball teams, everything. And you know what? I'm a feminist. I have a daughter. And I think she should have equal opportunity as any male out here and be able to do anything a male can do within her, you know, biological limitations.
Yeah, and her desires, what she wants to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have no issue with any of that. What troubles me more than anything, you've got these liberals who are so hypocritical. Because it was supposedly the liberals that the women's right movement, you know, they were the NAGS, as Rush Limbaugh used to call them, you know, the National Association of Gals. But it's a National Organization of Women now, is the actual name of the organization. Where are they during all of this? They are remaining silent because it's part of the liberal talking points. Mm-hmm. And you're not allowed to speak against the liberal talking points. Mm-mm. You go against that agenda, and you are no longer allowed in that club.
Yeah, the cult.
Yeah.
The cult. So I want to get back to, that would have been a good segue to something we're going to play, but we still got more to talk about on this Title IX stuff.
Yeah. You talking about the other thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The video.
Well, it's applicable to both situations.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it would have been a very nice segue.
Well, we'll bring it back up after a while.
I'll tell you about that. Some people kind of weighed in on the changes in Title IX. So Megyn Kelly,
yeah,
who is a prominent female voice in what we do in the conservative podcast realm, and she was on Fox News, and
yep,
now she has her own kind of media empire, does yep, her own thing. She said no lawmakers voted on this. No Congress has passed this. Joe Biden did it with his education secretary. It's an agency regulation. It applies K through 12, not just colleges. The way you talk about these issues, pronouns, he's waved his magic wand to say we all have to do it the way Joe Biden wants it done. It stinks crazy. So a summary of the major provisions stated by the 2024 rule clarifies that sex discrimination includes discrimination based on sex stereotypes, sex characteristics, pregnancy or related conditions, sexual orientation, and gender identity. So there's a person who used to be the senior counsel, so a lawyer,
right,
for the Department of Education. Her name is Sarah Parshall Perry. So now she's no longer working for government. She works for Heritage Foundation.
Okay.
So she saw the light.
Yeah.
So her reaction was Title IX, which was enacted to protect women's and girls and provide them equal educational opportunities, has been manipulated so that gender activists and woke politicos can feel good about themselves. Under the new rule, girls and women will no longer have any sex-separated bathrooms, locker rooms, housing accommodations. So think about road trips where you got to stay in hotels. Yeah. Or other educational programs. Women's sports are likely endangered too. Any educational institution, including many private schools that receive even nominal federal funding, will be affected by this rule. The rule also erases other important protections like due process protections for students accused of sexual misconduct, free speech protections for students and teachers who don't want to use preferred pronouns, and parents' right to know if their child is in the process of a gender identity social transition at school. So this is now that's to address the DeSantis stuff.
Right.
So now DeSantis puts a law in Florida that says the schools can't keep the parents out of the loop with these kind of things.
Right.
And you're not allowed to do it in elementary schools. DeSantis says fuck you if you or Biden says fuck you if you want any money, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting battle.
Well, it sounds like we need to hold some fundraisers.
Yeah, I am 100% all for revamping the educational system and getting the federal government out of it. It will make it a better product for right, our youth. A lot of people would be like, just like we talked about earlier, we don't have enough money to buy pencils. I mean, and the teacher salaries are so low, blah, blah, blah. You have to trim it down. You got to trim the fat. There's too much fat being spent in education. You trim all that down and make sure that any dollar spent, any public dollar spent, goes to the kid. Mm-hmm. The end user, the person that we're trying to affect. If that dollar is not directly going to them, in some way, shape, or form. That includes teachers, you know. And there has to be some form of administration. I get that.
Sure.
But the less regulations you have and the less bullshit coming from the government will eliminate a lot of need for that.
All right. You got a kid that just went to South Walton. You've got a kid in South Walton now.
Yep.
How many school counselors do they have there?
I think one.
Really? So my daughter went to Seacoast.
Might be two.
They had two.
I think it might be.
How many vice principals?
I think one.
Okay.
But if you have a principal, what do you need a vice principal for?
Well, one's for discipline, one's for administration. I get that. Well,
why do you need two?
I don't know.
Because you have too much administration.
Well, there's a lot of other administrative
staff. But those are
staff.
The kind of questions we could have.
Yeah, I mean, I had a vice principal and a principal when I was in high school. And that, you know, in the...
Yeah, but you were still funded by the federal government back then.
Yeah, absolutely we were. But we didn't have a... I mean, my high school wasn't a huge high school. It was kind of small in comparison. But you look at... You had a science teacher that was also a coach. You know, you had maybe one or two PE teachers, but that were coaches. But everybody else did something else in the school. They had dual roles.
Yes.
Except for the band instructor. That's his job. He taught music and he taught band. That's it.
He's a teacher. He's a teacher. Yeah.
You had, you know, janitorial staff. I get that. Why not make the bad kids clean the toilet?
Yeah. You could certainly have.
And I'm not trying to screw somebody out of a job. I'm just saying.
Imagine if those were the school board meetings to discuss.
Where do we cut fat?
Well, not even just cut fat. What is the best thing to do with the money we have, the limited money we have for the student?
Right.
And if we don't have this regulatory bureaucracy above us that is dictating what we need to do. How much can we eliminate there?
Right.
That's just my thought on it. I just don't think having the federal government involved in school.
No, yeah,
the money is not worth it.
I think there's money enough on the state level. I mean, at least here in Florida, we're very fortunate that our state revenue comes from tourist dollars. But not every state has that. I get that.
But there's going to be a lot of people that will make that argument that we need the federal money because we can't even afford to buy, the schools can't supply school supplies.
What are they spending the money on?
But that's the issue. If that's you actually question. Break it down and look
what
at it.
What do they spend the money on? Because our district, our school, Walton County, $300 million a year budget.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, average teacher, I don't know how many teachers they have. I don't know what the payroll is. I don't know, but,
but it's probably like mid-40s, I would think, the salary.
I think it's a little more than that. I think a starting salary for somebody that's certified is like almost 50.
Okay, so. 50,
and if they've got a master's level, they're getting closer to 70, master's or PhD. And then they're, you know, there's weight. They're paying for all of that, too. They're helping pay for it. Or at least there's educational offsets for loans and stuff.
Right.
But it seems to me that they're $300 million for this school district. Now, let's just say a third of that is payroll, $100 million. And you got facilities and upkeep on those facilities.
Sure.
$50 million after the property's built. You know, I mean,
I don't know, like, but there's an argument to be made that you could actually sit down and treat a county school board as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ran it like a business and you actually had, you know, a limited budget and you made sure that the budgets went to the priorities, which should always be the thing closest to the student.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's where the money is.
Look, I don't think a kid should have to buy their own. I mean, I don't think a kid, I don't think the school should be buying the kids pencils and paper and tablets. I also don't think you should be making the kids spend $100, $150 on that stuff and then taking it from them and redistributing it. Now, I do think what you do is you tap into the kind-hearted individuals who have the money to buy things and say, all right, this is what you need for your kids to start the school year. This is what you need. This many pads of paper, these types of pencils, Ticonderoga or whatever the fuck those pencils are or whatever they're called. That's what your kid needs. Now, if you'd like to contribute to the needy kid fund, whose parents may not be able to afford these things.
See, I disagree.
You think?
I think that money spent on those supplies for the kids is a bigger benefit than other areas that we're spending money in the entire stream of dollars.
I mean, if you're looking at priorities, I don't see. No, I would agree with that. But I also don't think it's the school's responsibility to provide those things.
Well, we don't make the football players buy footballs.
No.
Or pads.
No, but everybody's using a football. You know what? When they're in Pee Wee League, you have to buy your own pads, right?
No.
Not locally, you don't?
No.
Man, I used to coach Pee Wee football, and all my kids had to buy their own pads and helmets. And
I think if you play like the travel stuff, then yeah. I guess in the girls' softball and stuff, they buy their own gloves
and they bring their own bats. And yeah. I mean, the coach will provide a few bats, but
yeah, you don't have to buy your own. I don't know. I guess this would be a subject and a debate that is worthwhile having.
Mm-hmm.
These discussions aren't even a part of the world we live in.
No.
Because all that money's tied up in other stuff.
Right.
You can't even have that conversation now. And maybe you make an argument that, yeah, there's other priorities to spend that money on that will benefit the students.
Right.
Other than, you know, materials, pencils, papers, et cetera. They provide textbooks if they have them in school.
Well, and I'll also go this far and say, you know, for years they always tell us we need more money for education. Spending more money per student on education mm-hmm. does not correlate to higher scores.
Because the money's not going to the students.
Right.
It's not going to fund their education. Remember the lottery was going to fix all this? When the Florida lottery came? I mean, look at how many billions of dollars the lottery generates. How do we not have the most beautiful schools with the best educational opportunities possible? We don't. All right, so this has gone on a... There's one other topic under this Title IX that I've got to get to that Megyn Kelly touched on.
All right, lay it on us.
But this is from Nicole Neely, who is the president of Parents Defending Education. So her response is, it is grotesque that the White House has chosen to capitulate to extremists in its party, sacrificing the First Amendment on the altar of Title IX and disregarding clearly established Supreme Court precedent over the definition of sexual harassment. Extending Title IX to cover gender identity means that schools will no longer have discretion over whether or how to provide certain services and activities to students on the basis of self-declared gender identity. Title IX was written in 1972 when sex meant male and female, and no amount of interpretive jujitsu permits a cabinet agency to rewrite the plain language of the law. Efforts to do so have failed repeatedly in Congress for one simple reason. Such an expansion of law is deeply unpopular, with opposition to those changes spanning both political and racial lines.
Mm-hmm.
This betrayal of students will not soon be forgotten by American parents, and we will look forward to suing the administration over the policy soon. So it actually was Riley Gaines who said what I wanted to talk about. So Riley Gaines said, abolish Title IX, a policy that was originally enacted to protect women's rights. She did a post on X about that. Then she's quoted, the Biden administration just officially abolished Title IX as we knew it. Now sex equals gender identity. In a nutshell, a new rewrite means men can take an academic and athletic scholarship from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in the dorm rooms with women. Student and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. If guidelines above are ignored or even questioned, you can be charged with harassment. The other thing that's in here is there's no longer due process for male students who are accused of sexual harassment.
Hmm. No.
So there's no due process.
Right.
It's literally if someone accuses you.
you're done.
You're destroyed. You will be like, think about this. You'll be marked as a. So here, let me read it so it's better.
All right.
Your daughter will be forced to share locker rooms with the roused men who get off on posing as women. This is Megyn Kelly. There will be nothing you can do. Your son will be stripped of his due process rights if he is accused by anyone on campus of sexual misconduct. His life will be over just with the accusation. No right to cross-examine. Back to kangaroo courts, and he will be expelled and labeled as a sex offender based on potentially nothing. Only people who win are people who say they are trans, who now get to curtail our language and take over our spaces and eventually our sports. So no due process for boys. That's written in there in the new regulations. So if somebody accuses a student of sexual harassment, they're going to be punished without any due process.
See, that's absolutely ridiculous.
And they're going to be publicly destroyed.
I don't see how that's going to stand up in court at all either. I mean, but the fact that a government agency is thinking it's okay to even try this.
Well, listen,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
This is the world we live in. This is the results of elections.
Right.
This is the results of being uncomfortable with having, quote, political conversations. To me, this is not a political conversation. This is everyday life.
Yeah.
There's no politics involved in here. Whether right. you're on the one side of the aisle or another, has nothing to do with this. The whole right-left thing, to me, doesn't apply because, in reality, most of the people who are progressive or on the left aren't in this camp.
Right.
This is an extreme radical part of the Democrat Party. They're associated with that. But I don't think you could take the politics out of it. This is real life. This is not, oh, we don't like Joe Biden and we like Trump or vice versa. This affects our children. So not being involved in this conversation and calling it political, you're literally neutering yourself when you do that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're out of time.
I knew this was going to take a whole cast. I knew it.
You were correct, sir. Good job on that. I had no doubt. Get involved, guys. I mean, you've got the best way to combat this right now is to reach out to your school ahead of time and say, look, I know the Department of Education just signed off on this change in Title IX. We will not participate.
We will not allow you to participate. We will,
yeah. So this is one trend you need to buck, even if it does cost you dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't need to be selling our soul for dollars.
No.
Actually, we never need to be.
And sometimes the Band-Aid has to be ripped off in order for the wound to heal.
Absolutely. Well, with that being said, guys, I am your Uncle Wes. For Dan, we will see you next time on the Driveway Liberty Podcast. You